Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad that you're here today. How do you see yourself this morning? When others stumble, when others fall, do you care about them? Do you want to help them? Are you one who derives pleasure from people's mistakes, their miscues, their misunderstandings? Interesting questions for us to ask. Matthew chapter 27, verse 32 says, "And they went out and they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled this man to carry his cross." Ask yourself this morning, are you a Simon? Are you a Barnabas? Are you a good Samaritan? What about a Job? Are you a Job? Eliphaz the Temanite speaks of Job and he says, "Behold, you have instructed many and you have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling. And you have made firm the feeble knees." Have you? Do you want to? How do you see yourself? Do you ask yourself, is that who you are? When you read scriptures about who you are, or read scriptures about that tell us who you are, or let's just say the opposite of a Simon, the opposite of a Job, do you try to learn from those scriptures? Do you see yourself wanting to be the better version of your old self tomorrow than you are today? The Apostle Paul, he said, "Take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." When you read this scripture, do you think of yourself as scoffing at the weak? Scoffing at those who think they have liberty or those that do have liberty? I bring this up this morning because I really want us all to think about how we can become a better version of who we are. And that we consider this morning what our words are, what our actions are, what our text messages are, what our emails are, who we are, how we speak to others with our mouth, with our nonverbal communication, all of our communications. How can we not put a stumbling block in front of our brothers and sisters? Or maybe I should say, how those actions of ours affect our brothers and our sisters. There's so many scriptural ways that you can throw down a stumbling block in front of somebody. Honestly, some of them are really intentional, and some of those ways are unintentional. Some are premeditated and devious, and some of them are innocent and they are accidental. But I got to tell you this morning, they're all stumbling blocks. We need to recognize what a stumbling block is and when we put a stumbling block in front of somebody. I once told a really good friend of mine, one of my better friends that is a female, besides Kathy, I once told her she was wearing the most beautiful dress and looked just like an Easter egg. It's a bad idea. She was well overweight and it was a beautiful dress. And I didn't really understand for years what a stumbling block that I threw down right in front of her. I didn't get it. Sometimes we affect people because of our lack of knowledge of their faith or lack of knowledge of their situation, lack of knowledge of their background, because we don't care. We can just toss a stumbling block in front of people. So the lesson this morning is designed to encourage us to care. To care just a little bit more about each other. A stumbling block is a stumbling block is a stumbling block. You just kind of have that in your head. That's what a stumbling block is. So how do you see yourself this morning when it comes to this topic? 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, the apostle says, again, I'll read it. He says, "But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." What right of yours? How can you be a stumbling block to the weak? I suppose that in our heads, if you've been around the block at all, you've probably seen a lot of mischievous kids or even adults that really want to put a stumbling block in front of people just so they can crack up. You know, just so that they can entertain others and amuse others. I'm thinking of, like a Dennis the Menace kind of a deal, right? You got like a 10 or a 12-year-old and he goes to a birthday party. And the birthday party, they've got a pinata, right? They got a pinata hanging down here. And here comes the first one up to bat. It's little Jimmy, right? And he's the one that everybody likes to laugh at. And they put the blindfold on him. And here goes Jimmy up there. And here comes Frederick, let's call him. Frederick the Terrible, and he tosses down a pillow in front of him. Boom! So he falls over, and everybody cracks up, right? You know, and that is the far end of the spectrum when it comes to putting a stumbling block in front of him. And I think for the most part, we understand we're not like that. Or are we? Let's kind of look at some warnings that Paul gives us about stumbling blocks. And I realize nobody in this room is going to throw down a spiritual stumbling block like Frederick. But let's focus this morning on what we might do, maybe unintentionally, and maybe learn how to not do stuff. So I said a minute ago, a stumbling block is a stumbling block is a stumbling block. Well, a stumbling block can also be a pothole. It can be something that's not there. It can make you trip really easy. It can be a rock of a fence it's really obvious, but we don't see it. Boom. And we trip. Or it could even be just a little stick. I don't know about you, but if you're ever walking on a trail at night, the smallest thing sometimes can just trip you up. And I want us to think about that as we're thinking about how we can trip each other up. So the rest of the lesson is designed to help us to see what are ways where we can trip each other up and hopefully avoid some of those ways. Romans chapter 14 and verse 13 says this: "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother." Never. So here's three ways that you can do it. You toss that Romans 14 aside and just say to yourself, I can put a stumbling block in front of my brother about his faith, about her food, about folly. And we're going to talk about all three of these. These are how you can put a stumbling block in front of someone's way. Paul really addresses these in the latter part of 12 and in 13 and 14 and in 15. And we're going to look at how he supports this, that these are some of the things we need to think about, how to avoid putting that stumbling block there. "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother." So before we look at those three we just talked about, let's pay a little bit closer attention to the middle of this verse. Not pass it over, but really pay attention to it. Decide to never put. What does that mean to you? Let's just break that down a little bit. How do you make decisions? Well, this morning you made a decision to get up, right? To get out of bed. You made a decision to come here and worship the Lord. You made a decision. I think you get what I'm saying. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. You make a cognitive decision to do something. Sometimes we can make a decision that is so obviously going to be a stumbling block for somebody, it's ridiculous. If you're going on a boating trip with a bunch of teenage boys and you're a teenage girl and you decide to wear a string bikini with less material than your underwear, it's going to be a stumbling block, folks. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It just is. If a young lady is in our worship assembly this morning and she is wearing a head covering and you lean over and you laugh about her to the guy sitting right beside you, you're a stumbling block to that person. There are some things that are so obvious. "Therefore, let us decide to never put a stumbling block." NIV reads, "Make up your mind to not put a stumbling block or an obstacle in the way of your brother. So we decide, we make up our mind. We make an actual cognitive decision. We are not going to do that. The Believer's Bible commentary of this particular verse in Romans 14 says this: instead of sitting in judgment on our fellow Christians in these matters of moral indifference, we should resolve that we will never do anything to hinder a brother in his spiritual progress. I love the word resolve. I mean, when I think of somebody with resolve, I think of somebody who's like, just made the decision, I'm going to climb Mount Everest. That's resolve. I've made a decision, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And I like that commentary there. When you're thinking about others, have you resolved to figure out how you're putting a stumbling block in their way? And don't do it. Get rid of it. What about never? So we make a resolve to never put. What do you think of when you think of that word never? Is it like, okay, well, it's when I'm not making a joke about somebody, or it's when I'm not teasing somebody, or it's when I'm not sending a ridiculous text message to somebody. Is that what never means to you? Never. I wonder what if the Apostle Paul was sitting in an adult Bible study and we were talking about this, right? And you didn't even know that he was here. And we were talking about, well, you know, what does never mean? And you get a couple of comments and the Apostle Paul's like, never means never, right? That's what I wrote. It means never. That's not what we do. We just don't put stumbling blocks in front of someone. King James Version says, no man. I mean, he really takes any doubt out of it. We just don't do it to any person, to no man. And Young's literal translation reads this: but this judge ye rather not to put a stumbling stone before the brother or an offense. Just don't do it. What about to put? I mean, we don't really think of that very often, to put. What did Paul mean when he said that? To put. Well, to put literally means to put down, or it means to lay at someone's feet, to lay in front of. So he uses a real physical imagery here to think about what we can't do to somebody spiritually. You can't walk up and toss a rock right in front of them. So what he's saying, it's an action. It literally, you would see it. So like if me and Danny are watching TV, we're watching a game of football together, and Kathy's cooking dinner, and she leans around the corner and she says, dinner's done. We know what that means. She wants us to get up off of the couch and set the table, right? It requires some action. Go and do it. And that's kind of the idea that the Apostle Paul's saying here. You've got to actually do something. Or in this case, don't do something. Do not, under any circumstances, put a stumbling block in front of your brother. Put a snare. Put a hazard trap. Put something that just might cause him to stumble. Don't do it. So here are the three things that he does kind of make clear that can be stumbling blocks for each other: faith, food, and folly. And so we're going to take a look at each one of those. First one, faith. Verse 5 says, one person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. So we read this and we might just like instantly think, yeah, I'm not supposed to judge you about how you act about Christmas, or what are your thoughts about Easter or Valentine's Day or Halloween or something like that. But the reality is, when Paul wrote this, he was probably a little bit more concerned with, pagan holidays and Jewish holidays and how they mesh together in a family, maybe the Passover or Yom Kippur or Feast of Weeks, right? So maybe a young Roman family is going to go and spend a week with, or a weekend with, their grandma, and she's a Jew and she's, celebrating the Feast of Weeks. How do they deal with that? How do they expect her to deal with them? Well, with respect, I think, is pretty obvious that we see from this scripture. It's not hard to see how you can throw down a stumbling block when it comes to thinking about birthdays or holidays or something like that. You know, we have coming up, we have Valentine's Day coming up. And, you know, Valentine's Day is a ridiculous pagan holiday that nobody should give anybody a present for. Boom. I just did it, right? I threw a stumbling block in front of Clinton, who's probably got it in his mind that he's going to give his wife a cute little heart and some chocolates and you know, a flower. I don't have that right to do that to him. You know, if that's what he enjoys, that's what he enjoys. And I don't need to throw a stumbling block in front of my brother about that. How easy is it for us to consider, you know, somebody who lifts up the Sabbath, let's say a buddy at work, and he's a Seventh-day Adventist, and he is talking to you about Jesus, and he's spot on. He's talking to you about God, and he's spot on. And he starts to talk to you about the Sabbath, and he's spot on, right? But then he goes a little further, and he discusses the day of rest and how it's the Lord's day. Okay, well, what's my attitude going to be toward him? Am I instantly going to jump on him and start telling him how wrong he is? Or am I going to give him a little bit of respect and thought about that? Yes, you can quickly throw a stumbling block in front of somebody about a day. That's pretty obvious. Maybe one that we might, you know, be more likely to do would be you meet somebody, they're a Christian, they worship at the San Diego Church of Christ, let's say, and you get in a great conversation with them, and we start talking about the Lord's Supper, and he brings this up. He says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after the blessing, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, and he took a cup. Why do you take 26 cups? It says a cup right there. Where are you going to go with that conversation? Could you see it would be easy to throw down an obstacle or a pothole for somebody in your attitude, in your nonverbal communication, in your verbal communication? It's very easy. The Apostle Paul says, but take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. You really, really do got to be careful about trying to figure out who you're talking to and what you're saying. We can easily throw a stumbling block in front of somebody about faith. What about food? Many times I don't think that we think about food, that it's easy to throw stumbling blocks. But chapter 14 is full of it. I mean, it's full of food. The areas where it tells us how you can throw stumbling blocks in front of somebody about what's eaten, about what's not eaten, about what's prepared, what's not prepared. About what's your problem or it's not your problem. Do you give thanks to God? Is it your idea? Is it your supreme knowledge to tell somebody how they should or shouldn't have food at times? Can you throw down a stumbling block about that? As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes that he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. See, right there, he's talking about don't be a vegetarian. Let not the one who eats... Okay, I did it again, right? Boom! I threw down a stumbling block. If you are a vegetarian in here, shame on me. You don't deserve me to say that. I don't need to make fun of the fact that you don't like to eat meat. Hopefully you see that as a working example. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or he falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Give a person some respect. We're never all going to be on the exact same page in our spiritual growth, in our understanding of the scriptures. And you may not always be right. And even when you are right, you might be stronger to not push the issue. I do believe that that's some of the teaching that is going on here. Paul goes on to say, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Every one of us, we will stand before the judgment seat of God. Paul also said, I know and I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in of itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks that it is unclean. For your brother is grieved by what you eat, if. Don't let me forget that word. If. If your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy one for whom Christ died. My friends, can we not see that most of the time, loving each other is a two-way street? We got to know who each other is. And there are times that, yes, I would feel perfectly fine doing something and you wouldn't, and I'm not going to do that. And I don't think that we should overlook here the fact that that's what Paul is telling us. If you care about each other, you're going to know enough about each other to not prepare food in a way that's going to offend somebody. You're not going to invite somebody over to eat a meat sacrifice to idols. I know that seems kind of far-fetched to us, but there are other things that absolutely make sense. In verse 17, he says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. How much thought do you give to building me up? How much thought do you give to building Randy up or Danny up? I hope a lot, and I hope that in these scriptures that you will see that is a charge that Paul is laying at your feet. Figure it out. Goes on to say in verse 21. And verse 21 may be the most overlooked verse in the teaching of Romans 14. And it may be one of the most important for us to understand. Verse 21 says, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. It's just good not to do it. When we think about this in a practical sense, like what can we eat or what can we drink that is going to cause my brother to stumble? Is the Apostle Paul talking about a glass of grapefruit juice or grape juice? I don't think so. He's talking about an alcoholic beverage. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Yeah, you know what? You may think it hypocritical sometime to think like this, but Paul didn't. There are times when you absolutely need to consider others as more important than yourself. We can easily categorize, I guess, or dictate in our own head that that person's feeble or they're frail, and I'm not, right? I'm the strong one. I don't know if you try to read this whole chapter three times real fast and come out and tell me who's frail and who's not. It's not that easy. It's not that clear. What about folly? How can your folly put a stumbling block in front of somebody? Well, Psalm 69 and verse 5 says this. Psalm 69 and verse 5. Oh God, you know my folly. The wrongs that I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. Let me read that again. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. That's a lot of weight on your shoulders, my friends. So it goes on and says, O Lord God of hosts, let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. You know, this maybe should be our prayer more often. When we're thinking of how we might put a stumbling block in front of someone, in fact, this might be a refrigerator verse for us to think about, to have up there and to look at. It really is important that you consider others as more important than yourself. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor by me. So you better not throw a stumbling block in front of somebody, or that's going to happen real quick. What did David mean when he said folly here at the first part of this? Oh God, you know my folly. What did he mean? Well, it's foolishness. It's silliness. It's my foolishness. It's my silliness. Folly is what we do without thinking. Folly is what we do spontaneously. Following is what we do without considering the consequences of another soul or another's... What's the word? How another feels about something. I can't remember the exact word that I wanted there, but hopefully you totally get the idea. Folly is what we do that is going to cause somebody problems. I participated in a lot of folly when I was a younger man. I really did. I did so many things that I look back and I shake my head and I just, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But I'm a little bit older now, right? And hopefully a little bit wiser. And we all know the saying, with age comes wisdom. But I want you to think for a second that maybe the reality is, yes, a little bit of wisdom comes with age. But wisdom really comes from having a desire to know the Scriptures, knowing the Scriptures, and figuring out how to apply the Scriptures. That's really where we're going to get wisdom. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of a fool proclaims folly. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. We see scriptures like that, and we've got to figure out how to take them to heart. We've got to figure out how to not put a stumbling block in front of somebody. And really, before we do that, we've got to figure out what the stumbling block is to begin with. Do you want to dim somebody's light? Jesus said the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. You want to dim somebody's light? Give them some pornography. Send them a stupid text message with a naked person in it. You're going to dim their light real, real quick. Give them something to lust after. Show them some skin, so to speak. You'll dim their light. But you will also be putting a major stumbling block in front of your brother. So you have to ask yourself this morning about your own folly, your own selfishness, your own impulsiveness. Do you care about what you wear? Do you wear whatever you want, whenever you want, and however you want because it's you? Or do you actually think about your brother's eye and dimming their light? When you read the end of chapter 14 and you start the beginning of chapter 15 and just take out the chapters, it reads like this. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. That's how you don't put a stumbling block in front of somebody, because you're working to build them up, not tear them down. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling the law. Love is caring enough to figure out what a stumbling block is and not put it there. Verse 11 says, besides this, you know the time and that the hour has come for you to wake up. Wake up, get away from your folly. You don't need the folly. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Is that not the truest verse in the whole Bible? I'm nearer now to salvation than I was when I read it the first time, right? That's how quick life goes sometimes. Just goes really fast. We don't want to look back and just like ponder how many times we participated in foolishness and folly. We want to look back and think about how many times I did not do what I wanted to do because I wanted to help my brother. Verse 12 says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. There's a lot of a folly that can be had when we're thinking about fleshly desires and lust. But I'd encourage you this morning, see yourself as one who will put less stumbling blocks in front of your brother this year than you did last year. At least that's a good place to start, right? Don't mock people's beliefs. I'm not telling you to not study with somebody, not look at the Bibles with them, but don't knock them. They're eating, they're drinking, however you want to put it, you know, however you want to couch it, let's say, how they are dressed. We've just got to think more about others than ourselves. So how do we see ourselves this morning? Take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Hopefully that's how we see ourselves this morning, as one who sees this scripture, believes this scripture, and wants to live this scripture. This morning, if you have any need of the congregation, if you have thrown down a stumbling block that you just need to confess and talk about, if you have any need of the congregation, if it's time for you to be baptized for the remission of your sins, then let us know as we stand and sing the invitation song.